Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And before we kick off the show, we will just do a quick intro. I am Grant Goldberg. I'm the co-host of this Locked On Seahawks podcast. And Spike is a writer with The Stranger, and he's also a co-host of this Locked On Seahawks podcast. And, you know, we got a kind of weird slate of things to talk about, but we're not going to tease it yet. We're going to let you travel through this path of weirdness in the dark, which is probably the best way to do it. Right, Spike?
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to start you off normal, but what you expect, which is with this Seahawks team in week two, a really, really depressing injury report today. Oh my word, what on earth? I had no idea that this would be what I was looking at when I fired up the old Bob Condotta Twitter feed earlier today. And let me tell you, it ain't great. It ain't great.
No.
Grant, let me throw it to you. Who's your least favorite name on today's injury report?
Well, and by least favorite, I mean you mean most favorite player that's on there?
I think it's, well, whatever that means to you.
Yeah, okay. That so that's the interpretation.
Should I read through the full injury report before we pick?
Yeah, and then I'll have various reactions while you're reading it.
Okay, so DJ Fluker did not participate with a hamstring. KJ Wright with a knee. Bobby Wagner with a groin.
Oh, God, no.
Doug Baldwin with a knee.
Ooh.
Trey Flowers with a hamstring.
Come on, man.
Shaq Griffin with a thigh.
Are you kidding me?
And that's Shaquille Griffin, for those of you scoring at home. Delano Hill with a hamstring.
Oh, no.
Is that sarcastic?
That's very sarcastic.
That's good. A limited Bradley McDougal with a knee.
I mean, I guess that's better for his chances of playing. I don't know.
Yeah. And then full participation in practice, both Frank Clark and Deion Jordan with an elbow and a knee.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's good. I mean, those are our only edge rushers, and so it's good that they are practicing. My word. So I'll just say my least favorite name on that list is Shaquille Griffin. We know Trey Flowers is a question mark for this game. We know that the cornerback situation is thin. Shaquille has been the one major contributor along with Bobby, but Bobby was already on this list, who's been consistently playing all preseason. End of the season, hadn't been on the injury report. Now he is. That's real, real bad against a Bears team that now has Allen Robinson as their wide receiver one. I hate it. I hate it. I don't like it. It really feels like sort of the straw that breaks the camel's back. I've already made this joke to Grant off the air, but it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. But, of course, Bobby Wagner's injury was the gun that shot the camel in the face. But with Griffin, because the next guy up, you're talking about potentially Akeem King and Nico Thorpe starting on the edges at cornerback. Maybe they start Justin Coleman on the edge and slide him in on nickel packages. But either way, you've got a really, really high potential for really raw cornerbacks playing a lot of snaps this week.
Yeah, which is not ideal, especially when you're going on the road. You're traveling again. And at this point, the camel, it's more like a tauntaun that Luke Skywalker is sleeping in during the night in Hoth. He has to cut it open and mutilate it. And so that's where that's where the injury report's at right now.
Yeah.
Shaquille Griffin, it makes the cornerback position a lot more thin when it really couldn't afford to be in the first place. So hopefully he's ready to go. Trey Flowers being on there too. Not great. Bobby Wagner presents a whole nother issue and adds to a current issue the Seahawks had in week one, which is sure tackling and coverage from a linebacker standpoint, because that's where they lost a lot of yards to the Denver Broncos. And I know Earl Thomas not being on the field attributed to that in a big way, but the linebacking situation did not help that at all. And so that just adds to another list of worries. So hopefully Bobby's ready to go. This is just not good. I'm looking at it right now, just staring at it as a reminder. And so it's staring me in the face, yelling at me that it's not good.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's And again, we came into this season saying this defense is thin. That is just true about this team. We don't have the depth we're used to. So looking at an injury report like this already week two feels bad. It feels bad, especially in what is a run of games where we got to go at least 2-2. You'd argue, I mean, to even have any hope of making the playoffs, you got to go 2-2 here, probably 3-1, given how the rest of the season looks. We already dropped a winnable game. Now we're down everybody. I don't know, man. Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, like, the DJ Fluker one is quietly annoying. Sweezy was okay, though. I think the offense, I mean, it's good. I mean, we already knew about Baldwin. Yeah, I think it's going to be okay on the offensive side of the ball. The same five linemen are coming back. Hopefully they'll survive. But my God, my God.
It puts the Seahawks in a position where they have to be in great shape throughout the season to reduce the chances of them getting hurt. On the positive side, there aren't any running backs on the injury report, which is totally different from last year. Yeah. Silver linings, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, and we've got, I don't know, we still got Earl.
Yeah, Earl and Russell Wilson's alive.
Can we be real? What would this defense be this weekend without Earl Thomas? I mean, like, would we turn Mitch Trubisky into peak Dan Marino if we didn't have Earl? What even would we be?
I'm trying to think of something to compare it to other than turnstile. A revolving door, you can add that to the list. The little strips of, like, a conveyor belt. It's like in the airport. It's like an escalator, but it's just on flat ground. It's one of
moving
those.
Moving walkway.
It's a moving walkway all the way to the end zone. You can say that.
There's
tons of things. We can keep going on, but thank God Earl is back and is anchoring this defense. And if not for him, then who knows what it would be. But if anything, we can draw positives from the injury report that the pass rushers are healthy, and it doesn't make the thinnest position on the defense even more thin. So, I mean, we have that. So look for Frank Clark and Deion Jordan to each make an impact after a kind of unimpressive week one. Frank Clark had a couple plays, but he didn't really have a huge impact on the game. So if the Seahawks want to win, they need to fluster this young quarterback and really make life tough for him in the pocket on Monday night in Chicago.
Yeah, I was looking at the PFF numbers, and Frank Clark was middle of the road amongst graded defensive ends this week. He was in the mid 40s out of 80 who graded, and that felt right. You know, he was average, and we've talked about this before. That's okay for your second best end defensive end. He has to be Cliff Avril level good, and he's not yet. So hopefully this is the week where that starts. Speaking of things that are Cliff Avril good, if not better, we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick little break, come back and talk about some Seattle sports and some world sports that are as good, if not better, than Cliff Avril. Huh?
What?
All right, we'll be back right after this. Locked On Seahawks podcast, Locked On Podcast Network. Seahawks are playing Monday night football this week against the Chicago Bears. That means they're the only game on when you're watching them. And if you need to care about this game a little more than normal, if these defensive injuries have you down a little bit and you need to spice things up, maybe you need to hedge emotionally and lay some money on the Bears. Maybe you believe in the backups on the Seahawks defense and need to push all in on the Seahawks. Where are you going to do that? You're going to do it at MyBookie. Now, why are you going to do it at MyBookie? Well, because I'm telling you to. It's the best service out there. I use it. It's great. You get live in-game betting. You get payouts that are reliable, consistent, and trustworthy. You win, they pay. And you get fun over-unders on fantasy points scored. You can do like player props. You have all sorts of different ways you can spread your money around on the Seahawks and Bears game. It is a 3.5-point line in Chicago. That tells you that, you know, hey, there's an opportunity for the Seahawks to lose this game for you to win money no matter what. Man, my bookie has been slammed with new bettors, which means that if you deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, this isn't a joke. And for us on the West Coast, this is easy. So that's after 4 p.m. They will give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. That's promo code LOCKEDON25. Okay, so that's your promo code right now. It is LOCKEDON25, and you get an additional $25. That's MyBookie, MyBookie, LOCKEDON25. Get an additional $25 promo code, and that is going to happen, but you got to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time. And when's our football game? After that. Perfect. You can make all this money live in-game betting, Monday Night Football. Do it on MyBookie. Seahawks, Bears, LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid, MyBookie.
Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a specific Seattle sports team that just won a championship. We're talking about the Seattle Storm.
Ooh!
Sue Bird, Breanna Stewart, yeah. Jewel Lloyd, superstars. I mean, absolutely killer performances throughout the playoffs, leading the Storm to the WNBA championship. I mean, Sue Bird broke her nose and decided to just go beast mode and kill her opponents anyway. Breanna Stewart was just a she's been a monster her whole playing career throughout college and in the WNBA, but she turned it on to another level. She won MVP of the finals. I mean, I don't know where to start with this team, but I'm a Sparks fan myself, but they're just incredible. Oh,
God, it's disgusting that you're a Sparks fan. I'm not. I'm a Storm fan. I mean, I'm a bandwagon Storm fan, but I jumped on the bandwagon when we drafted Breanna Stewart. And I say we. It's a little loose, but that's fine. Let's go with it. Breanna Stewart is incredible. Is she the Michael Dixon of women's basketball? Are we willing to say that? Are we willing to elevate her as a second athlete in another sport along with LeBron James, who's at the Michael Dixon level?
Well, I'd say that it's arguable that Breanna Stewart in her whole playing career has accomplished more than Michael Dixon. I know what you're saying, playing level and level of an athlete.
She's maybe accomplished more than LeBron James. I mean, right. What, 4 consecutive titles in college?
Right.
In her third year, she's got Russell Wilson's career trajectory, but she's better than that. I mean, like, she is incredible. She's already the MVP of the league. Again, LeBron James is the obvious comp because of the sport, and I think it fits. It would be if LeBron James spent 4 years at Ohio State and just won a title every year. Like, that's what we're talking about with Breanna Stewart. Incredible player, size, versatility. I mean, incredible shot. She can do everything. She's so athletic, so physical, but also so deadly from deep. It's incredible. And it's incredibly lucky that Sue Bird at the end of her career, Breanna Stewart at the beginning of her career, the two UConn legends, arguably two of the three of their best players of all time. There are other names you can obviously throw
out. Yeah, Maya Moore, Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, I was only putting Taurasi in. I guess you got to put Moore in. But, I mean, Stewart arguably did the most of anyone. And then Bird was there so early. I don't know. But anyway, two of the four legends of UConn basketball playing together in Seattle in a city just starved for basketball. And they're playing it at such a high level. You can feel the city rallying behind it. I think it's thrilling. And I think this Sunday, given that the Seahawks don't have a game, go to the parade.
Yeah.
If you're in town, go to the parade. I'm not going to be in town, which is a bummer for me. But, like, if I were there, I would be at the parade. I'd be waving a little flag and maybe a bigger flag in the other hand. I don't know. I've only been to one championship parade. It was the Seahawks. And I just, you know, whatever. It was great. So go. It'll be great. This will be great. And get out there and do it.
I'm trying to think of a player comp for Sue Bird, whether it be on the Seahawks or not. Because because we mentioned Taurasi. I think Taurasi's more of the Earl type.
Yeah.
But, like, super just... You're talking about a person who's, like, such a good facilitator, can score the basketball, and a really, really fierce competitor, willing to lay it all on the line, play hurt. I'm trying to think. You know, Doug Baldwin comes to mind, too, if I'm talking about Seahawks. Yeah. But in longevity, too, because that matters. So
yeah,
I'm,
I mean, she's above and beyond anyone on the Seahawks team other than, like, Earl and maybe Russ. But, like, yeah, when I think basketball, I mean, even Manu, like, I don't know why Manu popped into my head as, like, someone who won titles early and then won titles late. But even that feels a little low for her. And Tony Parker doesn't feel quite right because she's been better at points in her career. But she's just that, like, great distributor. I don't know. It's a good question.
It's hard. It's hard to find a combination, for her
God,
because
I just had the grossest one pop in my head. Just the most.
Inferior. I know what you're gonna say.
I don't know that you are.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Derek Jeter.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was hideous. I hate it. But damn. Like, you know what I mean? Like early. Yeah. Like MVP level runs and just like, but again, like the sacrificing the body and then the end of the career gets that last title with A-Rod. That makes Breonna Stewart A-Rod. I hate this. Why am
no,
I doing this?
You just did that to yourself. But I don't think that she's like
happened?
Less.
Grant, what just happened?
She's less overrated than Derek Jeter was too.
Oh yeah, of course. Like, I mean, yeah,
it's attributed to her uniqueness that we can't find like someone to compare her to. Like that's something like a defining quality in itself. So I just shout out to the Storm, just great display of basketball, team basketball, and it really just shows that, you know, if you have two really high quality players and another high quality player in Jewel Lloyd, that, you know, you can piece together just a really good run and you can click at the right time and set the league on fire.
Bird's been there since 2002.
Jeez.
Yeah, like that level. I mean, like Tim Duncan is actually like a cop, even though obviously they play so differently. I mean, one's a point guard, one's a center, but like that level of just like quiet, consistent, great play. 11-time All-Star, 5-time first team All-NBA, All-WNBA. Most of that came early in her career. Sort of went in the wilderness, came back, and was playing at that high a level this late in her career. I mean, to bridge the Lauren Jackson era all the way to the Breonna Stewart era, you know, I mean, it's amazing. It's so cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Should we preview the other, or should we talk about the other thing you got to do this weekend if you're a sports fan waiting for Monday Night Football? This podcast will be coming out right before this game, or maybe even after. Let's do it.
Yeah,
Grant,
let's do it.
You're a Spurs fan. I'm a Liverpool fan. We got it. Going on 4:30 in the morning this week. First question, are you gonna wake up for it?
I've been waking up early all week, so I might as well just add one more day, and I could go back to bed after the game too. So
I don't know if I'm going to, so don't text me.
I won't text you live during the game, but like maybe like you can wake up and you can watch it and then text me after, or you can check my Twitter feed because I'm sure I'm going to be tweeting about it. But yeah, it's a big game. Liverpool Spurs just lost to perennial powerhouse Watford. And
by the way, Watford formerly owned by Elton John. Elton John was the owner of Watford back in the day.
There you go. But yeah, so
Hakuna Matata.
But
Hakuna
Spurs
Matata.
Spurs will be down Dele Alli. I think he sustained an injury in an England match. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this game because they had a lot of highly contested matchups last year, notably a really poorly officiated match that benefited Spurs over Liverpool. And that's objective for me to say because I'm a Spurs fan.
Hey,
but Spike,
hey, I'm tipping my hat to you for that, and I will meet you by saying – also, Spurs blew out Liverpool in the worst match Liverpool played all year last year. The Spurs put them to the absolute sword. The only other team that did that was City, but that was after, like, a 20th-minute Sadio Mane red card, which you, like, once you're down a man to City for 70 minutes, it's like, okay, shrug, like, just don't let anyone else get hurt, get off the pitch, down, give them their 5-1, it's going to happen.
Right, and
Spurs did it straight up.
And that first match, too, that was – at the very start or either right before, Mo Salah just decided to light the whole league on fire and and become its best player that year. So, you know, it's going to be really fun to watch. The reason why we're talking about it is because of the Seahawks having to wait till Monday night to play. You, as a sports fan, might be interested in something else to watch. And
this is going to be so fun. Like,
yeah.
And both sides. So the only injured player for Liverpool is Dejan Lovren, who is Croatia's center back. Their number two center back is a rule. Joe Gomez has stepped up and been incredible against some weak opponents, but Harry Kane is next level. On the other side of the ball, as I understand, Hugo Lloris.
Yeah, he's not going to play. Yeah, he's
Michel Vorm has stood on his head, the backup goalkeeper for Spurs against Liverpool in the past. He's been an incredible keeper in that situation back when he was with Swansea. But he just doesn't play very much. And this Liverpool attack, they have not been at full speed yet this year, but they were peaking for this match, you could argue. That is what Klopp has said, Jurgen Klopp, the manager of Liverpool. And with Roberto Firmino, Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane attacking, they are the scariest front three in European football right now. On the other side, Harry Kane is the best pure striker in England. And you've got backups.
You've got Son coming on too after the Korean games, where it's a great story too.
Is he going to actually start for you guys?
I think he'll be on the squad, but I don't think he's going to be starting,
because he's played like 17 matches in the last 24 days. And I'll let you explain why it's such a big deal.
Well, because he gets to bypass his military service for Korea. Yeah. And by winning the gold medal, putting the team on his back, he's by far the best player for Korea, and he's had stellar performances for them. And so it wouldn't surprise me if he was on the squad. I don't think he'll be in the starting lineup. Another name that I wanted to talk about too, because you won Player of the Month in August, is Lucas Moura. This really, I wouldn't say it came out of nowhere, because he didn't really get to play a lot last year for Spurs because he was a January transfer, but he looks like he breathes a whole new life of energy into the Spurs team and makes their attack so much more dynamic. He has so much speed, whether it's with the ball or making runs. And then Kieran Trippier, he's kind of built on this stellar FIFA World Cup performance, and he's putting a lot of good balls into position for the strikers to get them in the net. So I'm looking to him to set up guys like Harry Kane and set up guys like Moura, and especially with Dele Alli, who's such a creative playmaker. His status is in jeopardy.
Yeah, and I'm looking for Kieran Trippier to get way too far up the pitch, and then for Andy Robertson to bomb the other way. Andy Robertson is the left back for Liverpool and the Scottish captain, and has been incredible. And has just been exploiting any time a fullback attacks too much. And Spurs have struggled with that over the last 10 matches. There was a great Ringer article on it today by Ryan O'Hanlon talking about different fullbacks, and this is going to be a matchup to watch. Anyway, we've gotten really deep into this, but that is a thing to do. Wake up at 4:30 or just watch the replay. Don't watch a different soccer match this weekend. This is the good one. Watch it and then wait like a couple hours and then tweet at us making fun of us, please. That'll be great. We're going to be back right after this. One last item, a new Seahawk.
Ooh.
He's going to be playing insider linebacker. We'll be back right after this. Locked on Seahawks.
We are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast, and you are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and this information we're about to bring to you is not any insider information. Everybody knows about it by now. It's Michael Kendricks is a Seahawk. He got arrested for insider trading. He was cut by the Browns after leaving the Philadelphia Eagles in their Super Bowl run. It's so weird. The team's obviously starved for depth and it needs influx of talent on the defense, but I mean, the guy just got arrested. It's a weird, funky situation all over.
They've always loved Kendrick since he was coming out of Cal. The rumor was they had a two In round two of the draft that year, obviously they took Bruce Irvin in round one, Russell Wilson in round three. Those are their guys. In round two, they had two names on the draft board to fix the linebacker spot in the post-Lofa-Tutupu era. And those two names were Bobby Wagner and Michael Kendricks. And they're in a situation where Bobby Wagner's hurt. Michael Kendricks has a limited amount of time before he's sentenced to probably a year and a half in jail, maybe up to 3 years. I mean, technically it's up to 25 years, but typical sentence for what he's done is somewhere between 18 and 40 months. So you're talking about a limited opportunity for A, Kendricks to get some game checks, I assume, and, you know, be able to sock something away, and B, for the Seahawks to deal with their lack of linebacker depth right now with a guy who they've coveted for half a decade. So it makes sense on that front. It's also very weird. Seahawks are going and playing at, I guess now it won't be Tottenham Stadium, maybe at Wembley. I don't know where they're going to play
that
match.
It's Wembley, yeah.
Oh, it is Wembley? Okay, so they'll be going to London. I assume Kendricks can't travel to London. This is something I haven't seen reported, but I tweeted about it. I was like, wait a second, he just had a gear. He just confessed to a felony. Oh, man. Or is Kendrick signing with the Seahawks as part of an escape plan, and he's going to disappear into Switzerland? He's gonna take a train across the channel. He's not. Oh, wow. Guys. Okay, so a lot of possibilities here. Very possible this is part of a Michael Kendrick Shawshank Redemption situation.
He's boarding the Seahawks just to hitch a ride overseas, and where he will begin his new life as not an NFL linebacker who took part in insider training. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch that story unfold, whether it be whether he can travel or, excuse me, if he can travel and abandons the team and the NFL and America.
Yeah. He's a very solid middle linebacker. He obviously played a big part on that Eagles team last year that won the Super Bowl. He's a good tackler. He's fast as all get out. And in terms of talent, he's better than Austin Kalitro by a pretty wide margin. And if we're going to be down both KJ and Bobby for any significant amount of time, he's a great replacement. That said, you know, he won't be on the team if they make the playoffs because he'll be in jail, which is just so wild. So, I don't know. Is there anything else we got to say about this before we call it?
Don't get knocked for insider trading if you're listening to this podcast.
Do it.
Wouldn't recommend it.
Don't trade inside. Trade outside.
You'll get cut from your NFL team and you'll go to jail.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple. But thank you guys, especially for listening through this whole entire show because of the lack of emphasis on the Seahawks. But there's other stuff going on in the world, and the Seahawks aren't in great shape going into Monday night. So
yeah,
thank you guys for listening. If you enjoyed the show, go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review. It's greatly appreciated. You know, we always check the reviews. And so if you leave a 5-star one, it's more than likely that we'll read it on the show. Reach out to us on Twitter at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Friedman, at Lock Seahawks. You can reach any of us there. Well, any one of us there. And we remain accessible because we want to hear feedback from you guys. So we appreciate any time you have anything to tell us.
Yeah, we do. I'll just say I've been using those PFF stats. They're great if you want a good product, especially just like their raw numbers and charting are so useful. They're so useful. It goes so far beyond the grade. I mean, the grades are nice, but the charting they do is so useful if you really want to understand the game.
Right. The info behind the grades.
Exactly. That's the good stuff. So get in there. Get weird. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can draw your own conclusions on the player based off the charted info and off the grade. So make sure you're checking out all the content that they're putting out over there. They sent me a great email with so many charts, and it took me a long time to read through all of them, but it was a fantastic maybe 15 minutes spent. So yeah, take advantage of the promo codes we have. It's LockedOn25 for mybookie.ag, and I'm sure that there are going to be more promotions coming up, so pay attention to that. So for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.